In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups: the police, who investigate crime, and the Crown prosecutors, who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories.
A curly-haired young woman staggers out of an apartment block, holding her stomach and grimacing in pain. A young man comes out behind her with a suitcase and helps the pregnant young woman down the street. He helps her into the passenger seat of a car, then gets into the driver's seat and struggles with the seatbelt.
Come on, come on!
Go!
Oh no!
Up ahead, lying in the road, is the body of a woman. The young man gets out and makes a call.
Carl, get back in the car, please.
Ambulance, please. Please, too. Monson Place, N10. I think someone's jumped.
Carl!
I'm sorry, I've got to go.
Discharge!
Carl gets back in and speeds off. Later, police are at the scene and Ronnie walks over to scene of crime officer Joy Ackroyd.
Lovely night for it, Joy.
You're not wrong, Ronnie. Right, female, late 50s, early 60s, no peas, no purse, just this.
What is it?
One smashed phone.
Well, let's see if the boys can salvage something out of that. So what do you reckon, hit and run or suicide?
The latter. The amount I've seen here, I'm thinking about pitching a tent. Save on petrol.
Anything?
Nah, there's nothing up there, mate. Right.
Joe looks at the body.
Hey, classy get up. She wasn't short of a few quid.
She's not wearing a coat. It's warmer in my freezer.
I don't think the climate was at the forefront of her mind somehow, Ron.
No. Maybe my old man was right after all.
Yeah?
Money don't buy you happiness.
Ronnie looks up at the flyover above them. Bradley Walsh as Senior Detective Sergeant Ronnie Brooks. Law. Ben Bailey-Smith as Younger Detective Sergeant Joe Hawkins. Patterson Joseph as Detective Inspector Wes Layton. Order. Dominic Rowan as Senior Crown Prosecutor Jacob Thorne. Georgia Taylor as Junior Crown Prosecutor Kate Barker. And Peter Davison as Director of the Crown Prosecution Service Henry Sharp. Law and Order UK. Original series created by Dick Wolfe. This story, Customs, teleplay by Jamie Crichton. Ronnie holds a sheet of paper and walks down the corridor at the station with Wes.
The SIM is intact, Gov, but the data is mostly in Arabic.
OK, let's get a translator over here.
Thank you.
He goes into the office. Joe.
Phone is registered to a Rania Habib. I've got an address.
Good. How's your Arabic?
Hawamati Malay Abdi Azmak Al-Anklis.
Blimey, not too shabby.
Means my hovercraft's full of eels. Muslim lad, Hendon, big python fan.
So where are we going?
Highgate.
Right, no dead parrot jokes.
Home of Rania Habib. A uniformed officer takes away a computer and Joe brings a note over to Ronnie.
Rod.
Mm-hmm.
Found us in the bedroom, by the phone.
Suicide note?
It's Arabic.
Well, you're the interpreter.
Well, there's a couple of numbers. It's 779-LHR-355.
Flight number?
Check it out.
I'll see what the neighbours have got to say.
Right.
Ronnie with a downstairs neighbour.
I feel dreadful saying this, but I wasn't exactly her biggest fan.
She wasn't the most tolerant of people, shall we say.
Right. Did you see her last night?
No. I heard her, though. She was having a right old barney with someone.
What time was that?
11.
I took a sleeping pill and put my earplugs in and went straight back to sleep. Alone.
He gives Ronnie a strange look.
Yeah, do you know who she was with?
It was in Arabic. It was kind of like listening to burning cats.
Did she live alone?
No, her husband died years ago.
Ron?
Right, Joe, thanks. What about the people in flat one?
In the Maldives.
Well, lucky for some. Do me a favour, Mr. Moss. If anyone comes looking for Mrs. Habib, please let me know.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Well rescued. 900 grand. It's not exactly pocket money, is it? What does she do?
Well, Habib and daughter imports, and it could be anything.
Yeah. Oh, look at this lot.
Bit early for lunch, isn't it, Ron?
Cheeky.
Dinner with Tariq.
Oh, yeah, Tariq Mahmoud, that's her son.
That was last night, and yesterday, and today, all blanked out with Y-E.
Yeah, I've seen it in the contacts, but I don't think it's a person. What are you thinking?
Oh, look. She's very busy for someone planning to clear her diary, so to speak, isn't she?
Ronnie and Joe head down the main stairs.
Smell that? Bleach.
Ronnie knocks on Mr. Moss's door.
Oh, hello again, Mr. Moss. I'm sorry to disturb you. Just a piece of information. Who cleans this stairwell?
Well, we have a cleaner.
And when do they come?
Tuesdays.
Brilliant. Thank you for your time. Thank you. Does this smell 3 days old to you? No, it does not. So, Joe, get the boys over here, get this place forensicated. Maybe the argument turned nasty.
Ah, get you, McNulty.
Mahmood House, Muswell Hill. Ronnie and Joe are with late-30s Tariq Mahmood and his wife, Safia.
We are really very sorry.
Who is it, Mum?
A dark-haired girl, aged about 11, comes into the living room and notices the serious faces.
What's happened?
Safia stands.
Come on, darling. We must leave the men to talk.
Go with your mother.
Safia takes the young girl, Layla, out of the room, and Tariq, looking tense, sits down on the sofa.
You don't work Fridays, Mr. Mahmood.
I'm freelancing right now.
We know this must be difficult, so when was the last time you saw your mother?
She came for dinner last night.
And what time did she leave?
10 o'clock, just after.
You notice any signs of her not being herself lately?
No.
Depressed or withdrawn at all?
No, I can't believe that she would take her own life, no.
Hmm. We saw the letters Y-E in her diary. Is that a person?
How should I know?
Mr. Mahmood. We're only trying to do our job.
Mortuary, Gower Street. The body's on the table.
It wasn't suicide, that's for sure.
You think she was pushed?
Good question. Clear linear skull fracture. As you can see, an epidural bleed led to herniation of the brainstem and death, which is certainly consistent with a fall.
But she didn't fall from a flyover.
Precisely. There wasn't nearly enough blood on the road, and her injuries simply aren't consistent with a fall from that height.
What about down the stairwell?
Yeah, more likely.
How long has she been dead when they found her?
Given her body temperature, I'd say at least a couple of hours.
Right, so she gets pushed down the stairs, and just someone takes her there and dumps her under the flyover.
Sorry, Ron.
Seems fair. Yeah, right.
Hawkins. Uh-huh. Okay. All right, great. Ron.
Yeah?
You were right. Arabair 779 lands at Heathrow 3:55 p.m. daily. Someone she knew flew in.
Well, he's due to. My man is on YE.
There were two people with those initials on the 779 yesterday. Yosre Ebaza, 12-year-old, travelling with a family.
And the other?
Yafar El Sayed, in from Cairo for three days.
Airport security footage shows a man arriving.
Okay, this is him coming through customs now. Is that your victim?
Absolutely, yeah. Have you got an immigration card?
Yeah, and a flight history. Been a busy boy.
That is great, thanks very much. Let me take this call. You're staying at the Sovereign Hotel in London. There you go. Hello? Yeah. That is brilliant. Excellent. Thanks, Ange. Joe, thank you, gentlemen. The Sovereign can wait.
Doing business with the Middle East doesn't make you Al-Qaeda.
Ange, you know what I'm saying, don't you?
Palm off it, Ron. So what, when rich white people travel, we call them worldly, but when Muslims do it, we call them terrorists?
Hello, Joe, look, I take your point. I'm just saying it's something we can't ignore.
What can't we ignore? Ron's terrorist radar is bleeping.
Multiple payments, Gov, from Rania Habib's account to Middle Eastern recipients, including £6,000 only last week to a Mr. Yafar El Sayed. Yesterday, she picks him up from Heathrow Airport. 6 hours later, we find her dead. Not only that, but in the last 12 months alone, Mr. Sayed has been to the Yemen, Libya and Syria, right? I'm just saying we can't rule it out.
OK, but listen, you tread carefully, yes?
Yeah.
The Sovereign Hotel embankment with a bellboy.
Did he seem shifty at all or on edge? Did he act, I don't know, strange? Did you notice anything unusual?
No.
Did he say anything to you?
No.
What, nothing at all?
Ryan.
Yeah?
Sodium bicarbonate, nitroglycerin.
Well, that's how he made explosives. He could have made that here. He had another bag with him. Where's the other bag?
I don't know, sir.
You haven't seen it? What, do you know where he was going?
Over there.
Thanks for your help. Cheers. Wes, it's Ronnie. Give me a ring back as soon as you can. It's urgent.
Ron, we don't know for sure.
Think about it, Joe. The risk of not taking action is far greater. I want all available units, Trojans, Teapot 1, the lot, you understand?
Sightseers queue up in the lobby of Tower Bridge, ready for the tour. Ronnie looks at a security monitor.
There you go. There's no sign of him.
His name's on the list.
Well, then he's up there already.
Yeah, we need you to perform an emergency evacuation. Get everyone out of here as quick as you can via the south exit, understand? As quick as you can, please. South exit. Thank you.
The security guard turns back to his desk as Ronnie and Joe leave through a set of revolving doors. Police in high-visibility jackets run along a footpath by the river. Tourists are in a long, glass-sided walkway which runs the length of Tower Bridge. Among the tourists is dark-haired, goatee-bearded 40-something El Sayed, who carries a large, thick briefcase.
Will Inspector Sands please go to the operations room immediately? Attention, please. Due to a reported emergency, all persons must leave the building immediately. Please leave the tower by the south exit.
While the other tourists make their way out of the walkway, El Sayed stays, undoes his case and takes out a mobile phone. Uniformed officers usher the tourists out of Tower Bridge. Ronnie and Joe look on, and armed officers hold assault rifles at the ready. A helicopter hovers overhead, and Ronnie watches as the last couple of stragglers come out.
Each hallway clear. Clear which hallway?
Ronnie looks nervous, then sees El Sayed come out of the bridge. Ronnie talks to an armed officer beside him, who's aiming a rifle at El Sayed.
Wait for it,
I tell you.
Now!
Please stand still! Drop the bag! Lay down!
Move forward!
Put your hands out to the side! Support! Handcuff!
Kick it away.
El Sayed's phone's kicked away and he's handcuffed.
Ready? Okay, go on, Joe. In you go.
Joe steps over to El Sayed's case, which has fallen open. Ronnie watches as Joe looks through the contents and picks up a small white bottle.
What is it?
Joe shows the label to Ronnie.
It's just medicine, Ronnie.
El Sayed chuckles with his solicitor.
Something funny, Dr. El Sayed?
The sheer levels of incompetence, T.S. Brooks. Who ever heard of a man with angina and an upset stomach bringing London to a standstill? Sodium bicarbonate. What did you think I would do? Bake everybody to death?
It's used to make bombs. Same as nitroglycerin.
Nitroglycerin is a vasodilator. Tell me something, gentlemen. Why are you still holding me? Are you afraid I might have a secret supply of paracetamol?
Ronnie slides over a photo.
When did you last see Rania Habib?
Meeting Rania at the airport.
Why?
Just answer the question, please.
Mrs. Habib paid you £6,000 last week. Why would she do that?
She doesn't trust British doctors. She thinks they're incompetent. You think it's contagious?
Ronnie shows El Sayed a police photo of Rania's body lying in the road. El Sayed stares at the photo in shock, and Ronnie watches his reaction.
Where were you between the hours of 10 p.m. and 2 a.m. last night?
What happened? Just answer the question. I was, I had dinner alone. And then I went straight to bed.
More specific.
It was the hotel restaurant. The staff can verify it.
He looks over at Joe, then looks back down at the photo of Rania. Ronnie and Joe come back into the office, just as Angela hangs up the phone.
Forensics found traces of blood in Rania's stairwell. It is hers.
Oh, great. Told you. Thanks, Ange.
Wes knocks on the window and stares sternly at Ronnie.
Oh, well. If we're not out in 5 minutes, call the rescue team.
Joe and Ronnie in Wes's office.
Oh. Which part of tread carefully, didn't you understand?
It all happened so
I've just
fast.
Been on the phone for half an hour with the top brass defending you.
Wes, he flies 2,000 miles to give Rania Habib some sort of expensive checkup. A few hours later, we find her dead. You must see that as suspicious.
Not suspicious, maybe. Worthy of putting us on the 9 o'clock news? Absolutely not. I want this guy out of my hair before the Egyptian embassy weighed in.
Are we clear?
If not said, are we clear?
Go.
Sorry. The translator's been working on Rania's voicemail. You're going to want to hear it.
Go on, get out.
وصل الدكتور السايب ولا لا؟ كلميني عشان نتفق مع بعض.
Translation is, hello mum, it's Tariq. Did Dr. Al-Sayed arrive safely? Call me to make arrangements.
And he said he didn't know any whitey. Mm.
Well, Tariq lost his job 6 months ago. That's a translation of email he sent to his mother last week.
You know what this is?
A begging letter.
That's a motive.
Right, Ange, have all the cameras checked between Muswell Hill Highgate for last night and have a warrant for their place, can you please? Why don't we get Tariq around for a nice cup of tea and a custard cream?
How could you think that? She was my mother.
He's in the interview room.
Why did you lie about Dr. Al-Sayed?
My head was all over the place. You just told me she had died.
You lose your job. Pretty soon, you're getting desperate for money, so what do you do?
A printout.
You email your mum asking for £10,000.
She said no, didn't she, Tariq?
I don't understand what makes you think I could do this.
Well, a rejection like that must make a proud man like you very angry.
So where were you between the hours of 10 p.m. and 2 a.m?
I was in bed shortly after 10. And my wife can confirm that.
Safia, who has long, straight, dark brown hair, sits in an interview room with the detective constable who sits by the wall. Joe comes in.
Am I arrested?
No. We just need a witness statement. Could really help with eliminating your husband from our inquiries. So.
Joe turns on a tape recorder and sits down across the table from Safia.
Mrs. Mahmood, must have been hard on the family, Tariq losing his job. Do you work yourself?
I try to be a good mother.
I mean, your husband must feel a lot of pressure to provide now. Did his mother refuse to help, or...?
I don't know. They don't tell me anything. Can I go to my daughter now? She's very young.
Safia. Anyone leave the house after your mother-in-law drove home?
No. We both went straight to bed.
Mahmood House, Muswell Hill. Joe and a uniformed female constable are searching a spare room. Joe yanks a blanket off the single bed, and the constable looks through clothes in a wardrobe. Joe finds a nightdress under the pillow as a uniformed officer comes in.
Gov?
He hands Joe documents.
That's great. Thanks.
Joe's mobile rings, and he pulls it out of his coat.
Hey, whoa, hang on, Ron. Look, Tariq may have lied, but I think his wife did too. Because, no, they're sleeping in separate rooms. Now, if that's the case, there's no way she could be his alibi.
You know, your husband could be spending an awful long time in prison. You want to be going the same way?
Wes and Ronnie interview her.
Safia, if you want to be there for Layla, to take care of her, then you're going to have to start telling us the truth.
You can't take me away from her. You can't.
Okay. Then help us.
Safia looks racked with tension. She purses her lips and shakes her head stiffly.
I can't tell you.
Layla's with a child psychologist.
They were shouting at each other.
Could you hear what they were saying?
It was in Arabic. It was too fast for me.
Do Mum and Dad fight lots or not so much?
They never fight. The only other time was when Dad wanted me to go to Egypt for the summer. I think they thought I was asleep. After the shouting stopped, it was quiet for a bit. Then I heard the front door. I saw him driving up the hill.
And you were watching from your bedroom window?
He wasn't drunk, if that's what you're thinking. He never drinks. He's a very good Muslim.
You told us you didn't leave the house, but your daughter saw you.
It was the previous night that I went out. She is confused.
No. Your mum won't lend you the money. You have a huge row. You're desperate. You push her down the stairs and make it look like suicide.
It is not true.
We know that the stress built, the bills kept coming, you tried to provide for your family. After you lost your job, right? And finally...
You think I've killed my mother for money? Why would I do this? When she left almost her entire estate to Layla's trust fund, an account only she can access when she's 18. My wife and I helped set it up.
Ronnie folds his arms thoughtfully, and Tariq stares at him.
You didn't know this.
With a West Ham mug on his desk, Ronnie watches black and white CCTV footage of a 4x4 driving down a road.
Hey, Gov.
Yes, mate.
Come and have a look at this.
What is it?
This is the Rania Habib case. Tariq Mahmood, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Watch.
Oh, that's our guy, right?
Let's run it back for you. It's his car, but that's not him driving it.
It's his wife.
In the office, Safia's tying back Layla's hair.
Joe, his daughter wasn't lying when she said she saw the car leave. She just never saw the driver. Let's go.
Ronnie and Joe walk over to Safia.
Safia Mahmood, I'm arresting you on the suspicion of the murder of Rania Habib. You do not have to say anything, but...
No, he's not.
Ronnie and Joe take protesting Safia away while a WPC holds on to Layla.
You see, Safia, everything points to you.
Where is my daughter? Where is my daughter? Can I see her, please?
Why did you kill your mother-in-law?
Is she with my husband?
Lifting a 60-kilo woman into a car must have been quite a struggle, Mrs. Mahmood.
You see, the forensic team will be analysing your clothes as we speak. So, you need to understand, this is just a matter of time.
You don't understand. I didn't mean to do it.
So it was an accident?
You're telling us that you killed her now?
I had no choice.
Wes and Kate.
If it was me defending her, I'd claim it was accidental. No witnesses, no weapon.
Yeah, but also no 999 call. And she did go an awful lot of trouble to cover it up. You think we've got enough to charge her with murder?
Well, the thing that would help us most is a clear motive. Without one, we might struggle. Okay, do it.
Wes and Ronnie come into the office.
It's tricky. I mean, if it's not the money, then what? I mean, a woman doesn't kill her mother-in-law just because she don't like her.
Joe, seriously, do we honestly believe that Dr. Al-Sayed had nothing to do with
Ronnie.
It?
Because... And his alibi checks out.
No, fair point.
Why do they sleep in separate rooms?
Joe, that's got nothing to do with it, mate. Means absolutely nothing. I got two failed marriages. Never took it out on their mums. Anyway, look, forget about the paperwork. Let's start again tomorrow.
Right, you know what? You go ahead. I want to stay. Check something out.
Joe watches video.
The mum and dad fight a lot, so not so much.
They never fight. The only other times when dad wanted me to go to Egypt for the summer.
Joe stops the video and looks thoughtful. Another older detective is sitting at the desk behind him.
Hey, Clive. You found a CV for Dr. Al-Sayed, right?
Yeah. Great, thanks.
Clive hands Joe a file. Joe looks in it and makes a phone call.
Yeah, hi. Is that, Dr. Alistair Turnbull?
St. Thomas's Hospital.
He did some of his training here. I had no idea I was named on his CV.
You don't seem too pleased about it.
Well, he's an accomplished surgeon.
Right, but...
My wife and I were in Cairo in 2006. I thought I'd drop in on Dr. Al-Sayed. There were young girls in his waiting room, far too young to need a gynecologist. Are you familiar with the term cutting, or FGM, D.S. Hawkins? Female genital mutilation. The surgical removal of the external genitalia.
I know what it is. She's seen it before.
I discovered it formed a substantial part of his practice.
With Jacob and Kate at CPS.
Rania Habib paid Dr. El Saeed to cut Layla, and Safia wasn't going to stand for it.
I think you're jumping the gun a bit. Where's the evidence?
How about a $6,000 round trip paid for by Rania?
That's not evidence, Joe. That's generosity.
Why didn't she tell you about it?
Because she's scared. Now, I've seen it before. There's a wall of silence with FGM. Trust me, I'm talking about intimidation, violent retribution, the works.
Well, it's definitely a motive, but it's also a defence.
A hypothetical one. What might have happened doesn't justify murder.
If this is true, Jake, it's premeditated child abuse.
Unless Rania Habib was standing over her granddaughter with a knife in her hand, there's no defence.
Central Crown Court bail hearing.
And my client therefore poses no threat.
Thank you, Mrs. Morgan.
Ireland.
Though I'm not satisfied that the conditions are adequate to alleviate the risk of her absconding and interfering with witnesses. And so the application for bail is refused. The defendant will be remanded into custody.
But my daughter...
Mrs. Mahmood.
She needs me. Please.
Crown versus Mahmood, trial day two. Tarek's in the witness box.
So you and your mother argued with your wife on the night in question?
Yes.
And this argument, Mr. Mahmood, you say it stemmed from a difference of opinion over how best to raise your daughter.
I love my daughter more than anything in the world. But love does not mean giving our children whatever they want. It means protecting them, yes? It takes a lot of effort to be firm. A lot of love. My mother taught me this. She believes it very strongly. She believed it very strongly.
And your wife took exception to your mother's interventions?
They never saw eye to eye. But my mother was looking out for Layla. Don't you see? Everywhere you look, there is sex. Little girls dress like prostitutes. Schoolgirls have babies. This is the world my daughter lives in. It is my duty as a father to protect her.
Joe's right. Her daughter's in danger and she's too scared to speak out.
Tarek's not stupid. He won't do anything whilst his wife's being tried for murder. I'm sure Joe could contact social services, make sure he's closely monitored.
And you're honestly okay with that?
What are you suggesting?
If Sophia tells Madeleine Morgan about the threat of FGM, she will argue defence of another. We offer them manslaughter.
Trust me, if she hasn't told her by now, she's not going to. Our job is to prosecute, and whatever you and I think about it, she killed a woman. She's got to pay for her crime.
Safia's with her barrister, Madeleine Morgan.
And the prosecution start their cross-examination.
Madeleine, I need a word.
Why? Well, I'm right in the middle.
Right now.
Kate glances behind her cautiously. In the courtroom, Jacob, wearing black gown and white wig, paces tensely. Madeleine looks puzzled as Kate talks to Safia.
You can't rely on a lack of motive being enough to save you.
You could lose this.
You've got to tell her. I know about Dr. El Sayed.
I really don't know what you're doing, Kate, but I think you should leave.
Look, if a jury finds you guilty of murder, then Layla will be your age by the time you get out. You can't be a good mother from behind bars.
Safia stares at Kate, then looks down, her eyes wide and intent. Madeleine and Kate come into the courtroom together. Madeleine takes her seat, and Jacob turns to Kate with a stern expression.
Someone had to tell her.
She walks away. Madeleine questions Tarek in the witness box.
Mr. Mahmood, you suspected your own wife of killing your mother, and you didn't tell the police?
I thought there must be a mistake.
Mistake?
I couldn't believe it. Fighting, shouting is one thing, but...
But what, Mr. Mahmood?
But I know my wife. It must have been an accident.
I think you should tell the court the real reason your wife took against your mother. Don't you, Tarek?
I'm sorry?
They were fighting about female matters, were they not? Well, it was an argument you'd heard many times before. Ever since your mother tried to send Layla back to Egypt during the school holidays.
No.
Your wife learned that your mother was planning to have Layla mutilated. Mr. Mahmood, could you please explain to the court the term FGM? Female genital mutilation. Now, you might call it something else, but that is what we are talking about here, is it not?
My lord, I must object to the manner in which my learned friend is questioning the witness. He's not the one on trial here.
My lord, if Rania Habib was planning to carry out an act of illegal abuse on my client's daughter, then my client was acting in defense of another.
I'm inclined to agree with Mrs. Morgan. I must remind you that you are under oath, Mr. Mahmood.
Mr. Mahmood. Did your mother pay Dr. Yaffa Al-Sayed to fly in from Cairo and perform FGM on your daughter?
Yes.
And was this the nature of the argument the night your mother died?
Yes.
Kate and Jacob are in Henry's office.
We could jeopardize the whole case.
Kate, have you any
idea? The jury have a right to hear all the evidence.
And we have a duty to see justice done, however bitter the taste.
Justice? You called this justice?
Kate!
Tell me how this changes things.
They've added a parallel argument. They're now claiming it was accidental and defense of another.
Which seems to me entirely reasonable given the circumstances.
But she can't claim to be protecting her daughter when her daughter's in a different postcode. I know we don't always see eye to eye, Kate, but you've lost your objectivity on this.
Oh, funny, because I think I'm seeing things pretty clearly.
Do I need to knock your heads together?
Look, I tried to stay professional. Really, I did. But I'm sorry, Henry, I think it's best if Jake handles this one without me.
She strides out. Kate finds Joe at his desk.
I need you to build a case against Yaffa Al-Sayed.
Oh, hey, Joe, how's it going? Not too bad, thanks, Kate. What can I do for you?
I need a favour. Dr. Al-Sayed.
Doctor, he's gone, okay? Long gone. He's back to Egypt. You couldn't detain him forever.
I've been looking through his case. He's a cutter for hire, Joe. He's here regularly. Look at this, right? 3 days in March. Before that, January. September last year. Before that, April. Or 2 or 3 days.
You need a badge and a desk. Look. Okay, even if he does come back, it's not going to be easy.
Please, Joe.
I'd need to find someone willing to give evidence against him. You know what a nightmare that's going to be.
Kate looks at him.
What?
We go back to Tarek.
No, there's no way he's going to give evidence.
Look, I don't think he knows what FGM really entails. I think that his mother took control, just like she did with everything else.
And he just went along with it.
Well, maybe she kept the details from him, you know, just told him that it was something that had to happen. He was completely under her thumb.
Now she's gone.
He might listen to reason.
Mahmood home.
Conspiracy to commit FGM is a criminal offence, Mr. Mahmood.
With respect, D.S. Hawkins, I don't think you understand. It is a custom which dates back thousands of years, so unless you are from my country, I don't think you'll understand.
Do you even know what it is? Or is it all just women's business to you? Except it is your business now, isn't it? Especially if you're going to have to raise Layla on your own.
Layla comes to the living room door with a young woman wearing a headscarf. Tariq says, Yasmin, could you take Layla out for a few minutes?
It's okay, Habibti. Go with Yasmin. My sister, she's come from Cairo. She's helping out.
We're not interested in you, Tariq. We want El-Sayed. Now, if you agree to give evidence against him, I'll recommend that you're not charged. Okay, now you want what's best for your family, right?
Tariq looks racked with indecision.
I must ask you to leave.
Crown versus Mahmood, trial day 5.
Safia, could you explain to us why your mother-in-law would wish to mutilate her own granddaughter?
All eyes are on Safia in the witness box.
She thought it would keep Layla clean. It would keep her pure.
When did you find out that she was planning to have Layla cut?
I heard her telling Layla about a special trip back home to Egypt. I knew what it meant.
And what did you do?
First, I went to Tariq, but he would not listen. She had poisoned his mind, you know?
And then what happened?
I received a letter.
What did this letter say, Safia?
You are dirty. Your daughter is a slut and you bring shame on your family.
Who wrote this letter?
I do not know.
Who do you suspect wrote it?
Rania, my mother-in-law.
Safia, did you go to Rania's house with the intention of killing her?
Of course not. But I had to stand up to her, for Layla.
So how did she die?
Her face was this close to me. She was shouting at me, pushing me, telling me I am whore. Layla is a whore. Her spit was going in my face. I didn't mean... You must believe me. I did not mean for her to die.
She looks over at Tarek.
You must believe me.
Joe and Kate at the station.
Right, that is every call made from Dr. Elsa's pay-as-you-go phone. Cheers.
And these calls coincide with the dates he was in the UK?
Yeah. Parents of FGM victims. We pulled up some of the addresses. I made some house calls.
I feel a book coming on.
Yeah, you know, it's just... They invite me in, right, and it's all chat, chat, chat. But then the minute I mention FGM, obviously, they... just go quiet.
Who's they? The mothers or the fathers?
It's mainly the mums.
So let me try.
Jacob questions Safia in court.
The staircase at Rania's apartment is made of stone, is it not?
Yes.
Pushing a 62-year-old grandmother down such a staircase clearly carries with it the risk of death. You are aware that intent to cause serious bodily harm is grounds to convict in a murder trial?
It happened very fast. As I said before, it was an accident. I was protecting my daughter.
Protecting your daughter? Can I ask you, where was your daughter on the night in question?
She was at home.
Tucked up safely in bed? In no immediate danger?
It is not so simple as that. I thought the danger, it is gone away, but then Rania pays Dr. El Said to come here. He was right here in London to cut her.
Why not run away with Layla?
I tried. I said to Tarek, we must leave, we must go anywhere, but he does not understand how bad it is.
Do you have any actual evidence, anything at all, to support your claims that your daughter was in danger?
But there would not be any evidence until it was too late.
And you think taking another person's life is a reasonable and proportionate response?
You don't understand. Girls bleed to death because of this. Or they die from infections from the dirty blades. If you are lucky, you don't die. It is only luck.
Mrs. Mahmood, I am asking you...
Going to the bathroom can hurt every time. Sometimes to have a baby, it is hard. To give birth, it hurts to run, it hurts to walk, it hurts to bleed every month. And not just the body. The mind, too. Nightmares that will not go away, not ever.
How do you know these things?
Her eyes moist. Safia looks round at the jury, watching her. She sees Kate in the public gallery. Kate nods at her supportively.
Because it happened to me. I was 9. They had no instruments, only the scissors. There was no anesthetic. I screamed for 3 days. They had not stitched me properly.
Looking emotional, Kate bites her lip as she watches Safia. Yasmin looks round at Tarek sitting beside her, who looks shocked and uncomfortable. In the large cathedral-style foyer of the Royal Courts of Justice, Kate finds Tarek standing by a pillar, staring into space intently.
You had no idea how much she'd suffered, did you?
My mother said Safia was exaggerating. I believed her.
We really need your help, Tarek. I'm trying to stop Dr. Al-Sayed from mutilating other young girls.
Even if I...
Think of the girls we'd be saving. Young, extraordinary girls, just like Layla.
Tarek looks away and ponders. Madeline addresses the court while Yasmin stares coldly at Safia in the dock.
Safia's decision to speak out took an enormous amount of courage. When her own daughter's well-being was threatened, she did what every mother in this room would have done. She protected her. Now, the prosecution have tried to persuade you that...
Yasmin suddenly points and yells, "She's guilty. You are nothing but a westernized whore, and you'll pay for what you did to our mother. I'll cut your filthy daughter myself if I have to." Furious Safia leans over the dock at her and screams, "I'm not sorry I killed her, and I'll do it again." Yasmin looks shocked as she's ushered away.
The court is dismissed for the day, whilst I hear from the interpreter what was said during the previous exchange.
Tarek leaves behind Yasmin, and Safia looks shell-shocked as she's taken out of the dock. Henry's in his office with Kate and Jacob, who sits.
A reduced sentence is no good to Safia if her only concern is Layla being cut.
But if she knew that Layla was safe, she'd accept a manslaughter charge.
And how do we know she is safe?
Tarek's agreed to give evidence against El Sayed. But Henry, if the judge is compassionate, she'll get 3 or 4 years, and we've still made our point.
What do you think, Jake?
I can't believe I'm saying this, but maybe Kate's right. This should be a manslaughter trial.
Safia stands in the dock.
Safia Mahmood, you are charged with manslaughter. How do you plead?
Guilty.
Tariq watches her.
Safia Mahmood, you are responsible for the death of a 62-year-old woman. And I've heard all I need regarding your state of mind and the perceived danger to your daughter. And I hereby sentence you to a term of imprisonment of 4 years. You will serve the first half in custody, and then you'll be released to serve the remainder in the community.
A sympathetic half-smile falls across Tarek's face. Safia looks calm and accepting, and Kate smiles supportively from the public gallery. Also in the public gallery, Joe nods to himself and looks down. Joe and Kate walk down a flight of stairs into the foyer together.
Hey, you did a good thing, you know.
Well, given the bigger picture, I'm not exactly doing cartwheels.
All right, but get this, right? One of El Sayed's victims called the NSPCC asking to help us, right? This girl is brave as a lion. I'm telling you, that man's cutting days over.
But he's still in Egypt.
Not for long. Got a heads up, right? Turns out he's flying into Heathrow in a few days, so start practicing those cartwheels.
Miss Barker.
Thank you.
Joe leaves.
Mr. Mahmood.
I wanted to thank you. She's out in maybe 2 years, inshallah. Miss Morgan said you pushed hard for this.
When did you last speak to her?
Why?
Your wife still believes that Layla is at risk. I think the actions of your sister.
What are you saying?
I'm afraid it's very unlikely that you'll be granted custody before your wife gets out. I'm sorry.
But I am her father.
It may only be temporary. Until the authorities are satisfied that she's safe with you. Sorry.
Tarek looks stunned and Kate walks away. Standing on a square tiled design in the middle of the vast ornate foyer, Tarek frowns as he takes in this news. Safia is in a cell and looks round tensely as the door is unlocked and Kate looks in at her.
I got you 5 minutes. I'm sorry, it's not any longer. Come on then.
Safia looks puzzled, then Kate shows in Layla. Safia drops to her knees and hugs her daughter. Kate looks on sadly as Safia kisses Layla and hugs her tightly.
Please don't go.
Dr. El Sayed holds his thick briefcase and pulls a suitcase on wheels behind him as he walks into the arrivals area of Heathrow. He stops when he sees Ronnie standing waiting and holding up a sheet of paper with Dr. Yaffa El Sayed printed on it. El Sayed puts down his briefcase, and Ronnie looks round at Joe, standing beside him.
Your battle, son. Your glory.
El Sayed holds out his arms smugly as Joe takes out handcuffs and walks over to him.
Yaffa, El Sayed. I'm arresting you under Section 3 of the Female Genital Mutilation Act 2003.
Joe handcuffs El Sayed, and Ronnie tears up the sheet of paper with a satisfied smile. The characters and events in this film are fictitious. Audio description by Deluxe.